بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, it is only the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala gives us these opportunities of sitting in this gathering to listen to some aspect of Islah and our deen, so that we may reform ourselves and become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over the past few months, Alhamdulillah, we have been discussing our pious predecessors, Salaf al-Salihin, our Akabir, Ulama of Dioban in particular. We had completed a brief background and some important aspects in the life of Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullahi Alayh, and then Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayh. So several majalis we had discussed important aspects regarding their lives, especially pertaining to the akhlaq, so that we could develop some of these beautiful qualities into our lives. And that's the purpose of these majalis, to see how they lived, what ta'alluq and bond they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how careful they were when they interacted with people, their tawazu, their humility, their simplicity, their generosity, their hospitality. So these were beautiful lessons that we learned, we heard. And again, we should try and bring some of these good qualities in our lives, inshallah. Then we are improving ourselves. And of course, the ulama of Dioband have always been the center of admiration in this ummah over the past two centuries. The unfortunate thing is that we were not aware of their efforts, their lives, their biographies, their piety, their simplicity, their ittiba of sunnat of Nabiya Kareem, their love and ishq of Allah, and the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides the acumen they had, besides the knowledge, the deeni knowledge they had, the ilm they had of Quran, tafsir, hadith, fiqh. They were masters in all these fields as well. Whether it be the Arabic language or Persian or Urdu, whatever it was. And in the field of tasawuf, they excelled. Therefore, we keep on mentioning about these ulama. Of course, our roots go back there. So we can also find some type of guidelines with these type of ulama. Not to say that there are no other ulama in the world. Plenty Salafi Salihin books and volumes have been written of different ulama in the Arab countries as well, of the ulama of the past. Nonetheless, the ulama of Dioband especially, they worked tirelessly day and night, and the main object was to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to spread the deen in the correct way, the correct form. So we find that they also had in front of them always the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they emulated the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every minute detail. So many things we'll just go past. It won't even appeal to us, ma'adallah, Allah forgive us for our weaknesses. And we just go past. But every small little detail they found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram, they would adopt it in their lives. The fountainhead of this caravan of ulama of Dioband is none other than Hujjatul Islam. Now these are titles they didn't confer upon themselves. Imam Rabbani, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatul Ali, Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatul Ali, they didn't bring these titles for themselves. No. You'll find, especially in the life of Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatul Ali, he always desired to live a life of not having any type of credit to his name. He wanted no praise whatsoever. So the fountainhead of this caravan is none other than Hujjatul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi Alayh. And he was an extremely simple person in his ways and habits, but extremely brilliant and genius in ilm of deen, in sharia. There were very few people who could match him in his piety, in his knowledge, in his wit, in his profound understanding, and in his farsightedness, he passed away. And normally we find the other mashayikh, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, Mawsil Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah, they had long lives. But in the case of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah, who was the fountainhead of this ulama of Dioband, he passed away at the age of 49 years only. And if you see the kitabs he wrote, some of his kitab that he wrote, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah himself says, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, Hakimul Ummat. Thani Rahmatullah, his writings, Ajeeb and Ghareeb, his knowledge, we can't comprehend. His Bayan al-Quran is a masterpiece. After reading several tafasir, then you read his Bayan al-Quran, explanation on a certain verse, then you understand what caliber of man he was. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah writes that the writings of Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah, I could not understand. I just couldn't understand, he said. It was very difficult for me to understand. So he says that Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, at a young age of 49, he left this world, but the legacy he left, that's the important thing. Even Mawlana Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah, we do his Riyadus Salihin every morning. So he passed away at the age of 45, but the volumes he left behind. Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah didn't even have the time to get married. And he was worried because of his preoccupation in his seeking knowledge and writing of kitabs, he will not be able to do justice to a wife. That is why he preferred not to get married. Nonetheless, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali was born at a time, very important to understand this. When was he born? When the Muslims lost their 600 year rule in India. The British armies fought against the natives, and all that the Indians could do was submit to their tyranny. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali was 25 years old when the uprising took place in 1857. The ulama waged jihad against the oppressors, but unfortunately did not manage to gain the upper hand against them. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali had witnessed first-hand killings, persecutions, oppression and tyranny meted out by the British to the innocent people of India. He had seen the bodies of great ulama hung up in the bazaars of Chandni Chowk. Ulama have written that they could see, people wrote, historians wrote, that the bodies of ulama were hanging on trees, one after the other. So he was an eyewitness to dozens of people being slaughtered by the British soldiers in the manner that poultry is slaughtered in abattoir. Soldiers were deputed to attack and kill any alim who stood up against the British. If an alim wrote a fatwa against them, he immediately was arrested, put to the gallows. They left no stone unturned in getting rid of the ulama. They arrested the mashayikh from the khanqas, ulama from the madaris, imams from the masajid. The sounds of their horses could be heard in every village. Ulama were arrested and sent to Kala Pani, black waters, to rot there for the rest of their lives. This was an area where they were left to rot. The conditions of this island were worse than facing death. No one was safe from the evil clutches. The Muslims had become the target of attack from all sides. And of course, together with the attack against Muslims, the greater attack was against Islam. So an effort was made to wipe out Islam from the face of India. Now in order to secure this objective, what they did is they brought missionaries and would stand at the doors of the masajid, and they would hurl abuse against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they went to the poor Muslims who were not so knowledgeable, and they would debate them. What do they know? They didn't have enough dini background in ilm. So they would then beguile them, and they would convince them to leave the fold of Islam, and they would leave the fold of Islam. So many left the fold of Islam, they became murtads. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali was a young, upcoming alim when all these events were taking place in India. Immediately, Allah Ta'ala inspired him, and he saw the need in India to once again revive the spirit of Islam and prepare such people, such men who will stand up against the enemies in the defense of Islam. And therefore, we find Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, he then realized that it is so important to have ilm-e-deen, and that is when he established Darul Ulum Deoband, and he saw the need for understanding true Islamic knowledge, which was deep-rooted in all the different funun and sciences, so that a person could stand up and defend Islam. So very briefly, he was born in the village of Nanota. Nanota, that's why Nanotvi. He was born, he hailed from this village in Nanota. Again, this is in the district of Saharanpur, and we have did Saharanpur so often now. And Saharanpur, so Nanota is situated in the center of four towns, Saharanpur, Delhi, Gango, and Deoband. Very, very famous. Many of Abu Zughaniddin came from these places. Nanota, especially, was a small village, and many, many righteous, pious people came from this village. Many awliya Allah, many great akabir, would frequently visit this village, and you would come across this person's name who lived long before these elders of Deoband, and there was Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. You just remember his name, inshallah. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali, he would also repeatedly visit Nanota, Gango, Ambeta. Many of the villages had taken, people of there, they took bayat on the hands of Mona Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. We did Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. He was the Sheikh of Mona Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. Last week we did especially Mona Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. How he took bayat was it Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. So Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali was the Sheikh of all these great ulama. Even Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was his murid. So Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali was from Thana Bowan. But he had many relatives living in Nanota. His nani's family, they all came from Nanota. One of his sisters was also married there. So he would frequently visit this village of Nanota. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, and I mentioned last week, explained to you all, he was the Sati of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And he kept on telling Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali about, you know, Haji Imdadullah, what a great person, how pious, and he's a Sheikh Kamil, etc., etc., etc. So he had taken bayat to Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali. And also at that time, there were many other forces working against the Muslims at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected some of these villages because they had these pious ulama and awliya Allah in those places. So this Nanotvi family, very, very pious family. Many great ulama were born there. Mawla Mazhar Nanotvi, Mawla Ahsan Nanotvi, Mawla Muhammad Munir Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali. Mawla Mamluk Ali Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali was a special ustad of Mawla Qasim Nanotvi and Mawla Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And I mentioned incidents about him as well. So Hazrat Mawla Mamluk Ali Saab Rahmatullah Ali was a great alim whom Allah Ta'ala took a lot of work from him. Allah blessed him with great merits. And most of the senior ulama of that time studied by him, by Mawlana Mamluk Ali Rahmatullahi Ali. So he was one of the ustads of Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi Ali. Then we have a person by the name of Mawlana Yaqub Nanotvi Rahmatullahi Ali. It is mentioned in the kitabs, in Arabic, in the dhikri salihin tanzilu rahmah. Allah's mercy descends. Allah's mercy descends when the names of Salihin are taken. And this is not my ibarat or statement, these are great, great people. Even Arabs also, mashallah, Salif al-Salihin, they all have mentioned, in the dhikri Salihin, tanzilu rahmah. So can you imagine what rahmat comes down when we talk about Sahaba or beloved Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi is the illustrious son of Mawlana Mamluk Ali. So Mawlana Mamluk Ali is the ustad of Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi. His son, Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub. He was born 13 Safar 1249. His lineage reaches up to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. It's about the same age of Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Both come from the same village. As children, they played together. They were in the maktab. Very close friends. He was arrested by the British, who mistook him for Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali. And when he was released from prison, the madrasa he was teaching offered him 6 months salary, which he refused, saying, how can I accept salary when I did not teach? This is something for us, especially students of deen, something to reflect upon. The days when you did not teach, you don't deserve a salary. Even if the institution is giving you, We find all of our kabir. They would actually deduct amount of their salary for any time they came late for classes. Or if they left early. To such an extent, some of our elders talking about ulama-i Deoband. Who is going to think so far and do such things? This was their piety. The ustad is teaching, and some person came with a very urgent need. So he had to see to that person, which is something very important. So he came off his cushion where he was sitting and teaching. And he mentioned to somebody that this cushion that I'm sitting on is kept for me for teaching my sabak to the students, not to see anybody else's needs. To that extent they went. And for that time that he had to speak to somebody else, which is not part of the lesson for which he was sitting, he deducted an amount from his salary. So this is when you talk about ulama, Deoband, why are we talking about them? Look at the lives they led, and the taqwa and piety they had. Nowadays, it's the trend that we want to teach for just 1-2 hours, and we expect huge salaries. This should not be the case. Our mashayikh, Hazrat Mahumaji Sahib Ramaz, always mentioned about Mawlana Izaz Ali, who was the Sheikh al-Adab in Darum Deoband. He would teach much more lessons than what he was expected to teach. For example, if he had 10 lessons for the day, Hazrat Mawlana Izaz Ali Sahib would teach like 11 or 12 or 13 lessons. In other words, in his free time, he will still be teaching. I'm digressing. Allah Ta'ala is putting these few points now, so inshallah it's beneficial. I heard this from Mawlana Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali himself, because that was his ustad. So he says in one sabak, whether Mawlana was present in that class or he was talking about some lesson, some time in whichever year it was, the wife of Mawlana Izaz Ali, she passed away. Hazrat Mawlana is teaching in the class. The news comes. A note is given to him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Makes dua. He continues his lesson. But you and I will run. Not if our wife or father passes away. Our grandfather's cousin's nephew's third cousin will still, you know, I got some very important work. I have to leave my classes and all that. Any excuse we have, we will just run. Here his own wife passes away. After sabak, he mentioned to the class, taking the name of his son, whatever it is, for example, Muhammad's mother has just passed away, make dua maghfirat for her. So this was the caliber of people we had. Nonetheless, we come back to Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatul Ali or Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatul Ali. Mawlana Yaqub Nanuti, who was a friend of Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatul Ali. He refused to take the 6 months salary, although it wasn't his fault. Hazrat Mawlana was a great alim, profound knowledge of deen. He served Darul Uloom Deoband for 19 years as the head teacher of the institute until his demise. He was also bear to Haji Imdadullah Rahmatul Ali, also with khilaf from him. He was well known to be a great wali of Allah Ta'ala and the qutub of his time. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatul Ali speaks very fondly of Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatul Ali because he says he was one of my outstanding asatiza. Mawlana Yaqub Rahmatullah was the ustad of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Once again, after his demise, after Mawlana Yaqub Sahib passed away, a major pandemic broke out. And due to this, many people were suffering with high temperatures. People affected with this disease would come to Mawlana's grave and take the sand from it and place it on their bodies. Of course, one shouldn't do such things. People, you should do that. And this should give them relief. Mawlana's eldest son, Mu'inuddin, come every day and refill the grave. One day, Mawlana Mu'inuddin, who was known to have a very short temper, came to the grave and found that once again there was no sand in it. In a sharp tone, he addressed his father. Father passed away, addressing, a karamat for you, but a musibat for us. In future, if any person, anyone gets better using the sand of your grave, we are not going to fill it anymore. We will leave it just as it is. Allah Ta'ala makes certain things happen. Like Mawlana Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah. Wa Hazrat Mawlana should mention, I even heard Qari Kalimullah Pastor Rahmatullah Ali of Madina Munawwara, that was his ustad. And many of our ulama have mentioned. So it's not something, a fairy tale, somebody fabricated. These were things people witnessed. People actually witness. Our Hazrat Mawlana should tell us, When Muhammad Lahori Ramatulari, when he passed, he was known as Sheikh al-Tafsir, master in Tafsir, and he only ate every single morsel that he took was absolutely halal. Not a single morsel of haram ever entered his belly. Through that, Allah made him mustajabu da'wat. He could sense somebody gave him a da'wat, and he just sits down, and if he makes out something is not right here, he'll make some excuse and go away. That was the level of his taqwa, because he never took anything that was doubtful. 100% halal. When he passed away, musk smell, famous, everybody knows the story, would come out from his qabr. Hazrat Maulana should say, he know one alim who went there, took his handkerchief, and he just took some perfume from there. He said, every time he opens his cupboard and he smells that handkerchief of his, musk smell is coming out. Many times Allah Ta'ala makes some karamat of that person, a pious person. So this happened was Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Nanavati Ramal's qabr, that this was happening and people were getting cured. Now please brothers, don't go to anybody's qabristan and start taking sand. It's important for us to say this thing, otherwise somebody will see what is bidat, what they're doing. I'm just saying that Allah Ta'ala gave some people izzat even after they passed away, like a miracle taking place. Then there were others like Mawla Muhammad Mazhar Nanavati Rahmatul Ali. Another karamat. This also has been mentioned. For some, it might be a fairy tale. But our mashayikh and ulama were very particular. They won't just write anything. So it's sometimes they have written certain things. It's as an ibrat for us, some lesson. Allah Ta'ala shows us sometimes, because many of us have a tendency, Allah forgive us, it's our foolishness, Allah forgive us. We say, oh, this Indo-Pak ulama. Now, the Indo-Pak, what do you know? So, ask us who are students of deen, who are, alhamdulillah, studying day and night, Allah accept our studying, and we are reading all kitab, alhamdulillah, we have knowledge about other ulama of the world, and we meet them, mashallah. These Indo-Pak ulama, we know this Indo-Pak, how are you thinking? They gave their lives, literally gave their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the person was teaching in a maktab, a hifz class, or ulama, or whichever field he was in, he gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala gave them that type of ikhlas and sincerity. They were very sincere. So this was an incident that took place. I heard it many times before. Mawla Mazhar Sahib Nanavati. Again, I'm showing you this Nanavati family. So he had taken part in that war against the British in 1857. It was his habit in the class, he'll always lick his upper lip. Someone asked him, I said, why you keep on doing that? You've got some problem? So then he was reluctant, but finally he had to tell them why. When they kept on insisting, he mentioned, during the battle against the British in Shamli, very famous, battle against the British in Shamli, the Muslims were attacked. Some of my satis became shaheed. I was also shot in my leg. I was wounded very badly. In that condition, Hur-e-Een were coming down with goblets in their hands, filled with a special type of sharbat, which they were feeding to my companions who became shaheed. One who turned towards me and placed the goblet just on my lip, when suddenly another Hur-e-Een caught her hand, pulled it away, saying, he's not from the shaheed. He's not from the shuhada. So at that time, a small drop of sharbat fell on my upper lip, the exquisite taste of which is still there, and it's for this reason I am always licking my upper lip. Brother, if this didn't happen to us, then don't deny it. These people were not any people who make some... They were Allah walas. They feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wouldn't go and broadcast. Any person today sees any good dream, it goes viral. Why? We want to call people towards ourselves and how pious I am. If I can't do it, then I'll tell one of my friends, you must send this thing viral. Everybody must, you know. By ikhlas, sincerity. And this is for all of us, ulama, students, every profession. Do things only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've read about Mahakasim Nanuti Ramatul. Any good he did, attributed to somebody else. never to himself. And this is what you call fana'iyat. You may say, Maulana Ganguhi Rahmatullah Ali, that he annihilated himself, his nafs, to such an extent that he thought of himself to be nothing. And he genuinely believed that he is nothing, to such an extent that Sidi Muris and some of his students became doubtful. If Hazrat is nothing, then why are you sitting here? So, this happened to Mana Mazhar Nanotvi Rahmatullahi. I will just move on now, inshallah, to some of the akhlaq of Hazrat Mana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi. That's the main part that we need to discuss for we Islah. I just mentioned this as an introduction, so we know the type of person we are discussing, and the family he comes from, the village he comes from, his ways and habits. Of course, the most important thing is good character, akhlaq. So, if you analyze the life of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali, we'll understand that he had excellent akhlaq, and this stood out amongst his other qualities. As great as he was, he always portrayed humility, humbleness, and adab and respect in everything he did. People who did not know him would have never recognized him to be such a great alim. He always kept a smile on his face, something for all of us to now try and develop. He always kept a smile on his face and greeted one and all, regardless of their social standing. No child was too small for Hazrat Maulana to greet. He would come down to the level of a simple villager and portray to him the improper Islamic akhlaq of a Muslim. This excellent akhlaq and character is what caused thousands of people to throng around him. So young and old, alim, non-alim, everybody loved him because of the manner in which he conducted himself with people. Hazrat Mullah Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Ramad, another very, 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 very great wali of Allah, very great buzurg. Hazrat Mullah Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi, he writes in his book regarding Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, kam umar hi me vilayat mil gayi, that he achieved vilayat, sainthood, in his youth. As a young boy, from childhood days, he was very pious, very righteous. He would spend most of his time in the masjid and remain for long periods of time in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. He disliked being in the limelight. Very important. He disliked being in the limelight and preferred a life of seclusion and solitude. Humility was his second nature. Every action of his was filled with tawazu, or humility. His dressing was extremely simple, and he was always in the company of poor villagers. He detested sitting with the rich and wealthy. People who did not know him would never know that he was such a great alim of his time. However, there was a need to stand up against the enemies or in the defense of Islam. Immediately he would stand up to defend deen. Now his simplicity was such that as far as his clothing was concerned, he wore coarse clothing and was always seen wearing a blue lungi. His kurta buttons were generally left open. He never wore a very big jubba or shawl or a long imama, which was generally worn by the scholars of the time. He hardly had any clothing, just two pairs of clothing. He'll wash one while he's wearing the other one. And al-badadatu min al-iman, hadith of Rasulullah says, simplicity is part of iman. This exactly you find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi writes, once I entered the room of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullah alayhi. I could not see any possessions there. Room was completely bare. There was just an old torn straw mat on the ground, which perhaps he used for his entire life. I could neither see a trunk with like a cupboard belonging with his belongings in there. He further says that Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullah never took any luggage on journey. The lungi that he took along would be kept in the bag of one of his companions. In winter he wore a trouser at times and a small imama to keep his head warm. It's absolutely simple. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti rahmatullah was employed at the printing press in Delhi. He was very good in calligraphy. So he was employed there and he told them, I'll try to correct any printing errors found in the copies of the Quran that they were printing before it was sent out and published. So Mawlana was employed for 10 rupees a month. Hazrat Mawlana received, whilst he's working there, an offer from another organization to teach there for 300 rupees. He is getting 10 rupees, the offer comes for 300 rupees. He replied to them, I am very thankful to you for thinking about me, but I am already earning 10 rupees over here, of which 5 rupees is enough for my needs and the needs of my family. So every month I find myself with 5 rupees extra, which I then distribute to the poor. If I have 300 rupees from you, I'll only use 5 rupees, and 295 rupees, what am I going to do with? I will perpetually be worried and concerned as to how I'm going to distribute these extra funds. In this way, he tactfully avoided accepting this offer. Maulana Ahmad Hassan Amrohi Rahmatullah Ali was amongst the famous students of Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali. He would say about his ustad, because he would generally accompany Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali whenever they went for any debates. He mentioned that whilst on journey to Shah Jaharanpur, as we were entering the town, we passed by a river. I remember India, those ancient times. Hazrat was on foot, thus he waded through the river, thereby wetting his trouser. When he emerged out on the other side, he wore his lungi, squeezed his trouser, placed it at the end of his stick, continued walking as like a common villager would do. It was Hazrat's habit that whenever he went on a journey, he never walked in front. He would walk alongside the travel companions. His ways and mannerisms were so simple, if an outsider came to his majlis, he would never recognize Hazrat to be the main person and the saint he had come to meet. Often people would mistakenly meet others. They'll meet the other khalifas and murid thinking he's a sheikh, and not realize Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahman, he's a sheikh and the Hazrat they came to meet. He preferred traveling by foot, regardless of the distance. He had no habit of using an umbrella even if it rained. Now this was his hal. His tawazu, his humility, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with such a humility and such an ability to conceal himself that he would never even mistakenly speak of any of his achievements. Whether he was in public or in solitude, he never expressed his virtues and perfection to anyone. In fact, he writes himself, he says, if it is not that people wrongfully think that I am a little learned, I would have annihilated myself to such an extent that people would not have known that a person like Qasim was ever even born. Whilst he's working in this printing press in Delhi, the co-staff, they knew very well, if any person calls him Maulana Qasim, he would not reply. Until they call him by his name without Maulana Qasim, then only he'll reply. Hazrat feared respect and honor. He would remain informal, betakalluf with everyone and dislike any formalities. He would often say, if it were not for people needing help, I should have disappeared in such a way that no one would even know that Qasim came into this world. Sometimes he would say, if this title of Maulvi was not stuck to my name, nothing of Qasim would have ever been known. Once a very poor person, nice story about a person who invited him in Deoband for a meal. So he accepted the dawat, he knew the person. Suddenly at the time of meals, it began raining so heavily that it was not possible for him to go to that person's house, to the host's house. And the rain was not just stopping. So the host was a very poor person. He had given dawat with some, you know, whatever he had. And he definitely felt that Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah, because of the inclement weather, he's not going to come. So therefore, he didn't take the trouble of preparing any food or making an arrangement. So it was raining for the whole day, and Hazrat must have been invited later in the day or in the evening. So he realized that now he's not going to come, it's raining. So he made no arrangements to cook any food or prepare any food. As the evening came, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah used a blanket as an umbrella and covered his head. He went out into the pouring rain, held his shoes in his hand, walked through the flooded streets of Deoband. The rain continued cascading in torrents. Hazrat slowly made his way to the home of this poor person. He eventually reached the door and knocked. When this poor man opened the door and he saw Hazrat Rahmat was drenched in rain, he became completely bewildered. Hazrat Rahmat immediately assessed the situation, said to him, there's nothing to be worried about. Don't feel embarrassed. There must be some leftover food in your home. Serve that. The host found some stale mash ki dal, dal, and some bread, it was left stale, which he placed before Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat ate it with so much of relish as though he was eating biryani and chops. He made lots of dua for this poor man, thanked him with all his heart. He returned home in that heavy storm. due to staying out in the rain for so long, Hazrat Rahmatullah fell ill. However, he did not reveal the source of his illness to anyone in order to save his poor host from embarrassment. Abu Zughaneddin were very careful, even to this extent, in order to keep the hearts of people happy. To keep the hearts of people. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah, his whole life, to keep the hearts of people happy. May Allah give me also the tawfiq, give all of us the tawfiq, to keep everybody happy. Hazrat Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali would deliver very inspiring talks. His bayans, I told you, his ilm was so high. If it was made known that Hazrat Rahmatullah was delivering a lecture at any venue, it was difficult for anyone not to attend. His lectures were filled with knowledge, wisdom, tawheed, love of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once when Hazrat Rahmatullah traveled to Raipur for a talk, almost every person in the town attended the lecture. Only the women and children were left behind at home. Hazrat Maulana Madani Rahmatullah writes in one of his book, very famous, Asire Malta, the prisoners of Malta. In there he writes that Hazrat Qasim Munanamti Ram lived with the poor. He dressed like the poor and he was like them in his ways and habits. He felt uncomfortable sitting with very, very rich people. He loved spending time with the students of Deen. Traveling by train, he preferred to go in the third class. Despite his simplicity, very important. So we think somebody very simple, that means he must be very shabbily dressed now. He was very neat and clean. So he was simple, dressing was simple, but very neat and clean. And so when he traveled, he carried camphor with him, because this was on a journey when generally person encounters different types of people, untidy people. Sometimes person is inconvenienced by bad smells, so he got his camphor there. And also, he would like gulab, itar. And I mentioned to you, it was Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah also who liked gulab, itar, rose. He loved simplicity and mixing with simple people. And he disliked spending time dressing up and grooming himself. Maulana Amrohi Rahmatullah says that Maulana, if he saw any student suffering with pride, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah would instruct him to straighten shoes of the people to bring his pride down. And if he noticed the student was so humble and down to earth, then Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali would himself carry his shoes. Once he delivered a very powerful lecture at a certain venue. People were not aware who he was. After the lecture, some people asked him, do you know who's Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah? Who's Maulana Qasim Nanoti? Not knowing the addressing, they're talking about him. They must have heard this person's bayan. So they asked him, you know Maulana Qasim Nanoti? He said, yes, he knows some simple masail of wuzu and namaz. That's what he knows. Not even telling them that he was the Maulana Qasim who gave the bayan. Maulana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah writes, initially Hazrat Maulana would not make imamah. Different buzrugs, they had their tabiat, the mizaj, the temperaments, the reasons. So he didn't like to make imamat. He would put somebody else in front. So he always put somebody else. Only in cases of extreme necessity would Hazrat Maulana take the musalla. In Nanota, he had no choice but to make imamat. And that too because due to the presence of his family and relatives who forced him to make the imamat. Hospitality, we mentioned about Mohsin Ahmad Madni Ramatullah. Every day people would come to eat at his home. Every single day. Similar in Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah's life, although he was not a rich person. He was poor. But still, people would flock to his house. The poor and the rich would come to his house to have meals. And especially the poor, they would come every day to eat. And Hazrat Maulana should become extremely happy to feed them. The day no guest came, he became very saddened about it. Now ask ourselves, when last we gave da'wat, who we gave da'wat, poor, rich, friends, who we gave? What type of food we gave them, how do we prepare also? Yes, he looked after his guests. He go out of his way to prepare good meals for them, and he did it with a broad smile and a happy heart. So, his personal clothing, simple, food was simple, he should prepare one roti, and eat it for several meals without any gravy. But yes, for his guests, sometimes he makes some lavish preparations for them. And then, very important, whenever a guest arrives, Hazrat Rahmatullah would first ask, hey, have you eaten anything? There was no fixed time for feeding the people. Anybody came anytime. day or night. So immediately he would inform his respected wife, and food would be brought for the guests. At this point, we'd like to mention that these mashayikh also, obviously because of parda reasons and all, we don't mention their wives and their biography or anything. But their wives have made great, great, great khidmat for deen. And they really went all out because their husbands' lives were such that whole day and night people saying to people, making khidmat and feeding people. Who's cooking all the food? Their wives. So here, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti himself mentions, he says, he would inform his wife to cook, bring some food for the guests. So Hazrat's hospitality was well known to all. One occasion, some ulama were praising him about how much he feeds people and how he welcomes people to his home. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti replied, all this is actually because of Ahmad's mother. Who's Ahmad? His son. In other words, my wife. She's her khidmat. She's making. So this was his humility. He didn't take any credit for himself. And of course, his wife deserved that credit. And therefore, he gave her that credit. One of Hazrat Murid and Khadim, who was known as Diwanji, he says, once some people arrive at Hazrat's residence, at the time of meals, they all stood up to wash their hands. An old man who was extremely poor, shabbily dressed, somehow he was ignored. No one offered to wash his hands. Hazrat immediately saw this, realized that this man is ignored. So he goes himself, takes a jug, and helps this man to wash his hands. Hazrat Mawlana had great love for the poor. Whenever a poor person came to his house, Mawlana would serve him delicious meals. And any person who would come, Hazrat Mawlana would go out of his way to entertain that person. There's one or two incidents, and we'll terminate for tonight, inshallah. Once there was a villager who came to meet Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali. After eating, right, he ate meals. Now he was spending the night at Mawlana Qasim Rahmatullah Ali's house. Suddenly this person, the guest, started getting headaches. He's not comfortable, restless, he can't sleep. Most of us might not know why, but let's see. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim immediately realized the problem. He quietly went out and fetched the hookah. He filled the furnace, the chillam, lit the coal, placed the tobacco, and gave it to this poor villager saying, why didn't you tell me earlier that you smoke hookah? Couldn't get a sleep, headache because no hookah. And those who smoke might know something. That no smoke, no cigarette, but headache. So he said, why didn't you tell me earlier that you smoke hookah? Everyone knew that Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali disliked hookah. But for the comfort of the guest, Hazrat Rahmatullah tolerated this extreme discomfort. Last incident for tonight, inshallah. His brother-in-law, his wife's sister's husband, okay, invited him once for some meal. Now, on the way, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Rahmatullah met others also, about 25 to 30 people. And he said, join me, come, we're going for meals. When they came to the house, his brother-in-law's name was Sheikh Abdul Razak. He became very worried, walking in and out of the house, pareshan. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Rahmatullah realized, he said, bhai, what have you prepared? He said, I made rice dish palau. He said, don't worry. Give me permission to enter the kitchen. Of course, they mentioned, arrangements for parda were made. Whose house is it? His wife's sister's house. Many people won't make a parda with their wife's sister against Shariat. You have to make parda. So he goes to his wife's sister's house, tell the brother-in-law, make sure parda arrangements are made. Then he goes into the kitchen. So arrangements are made for parda. Hazrat enters the kitchen. A small pot of food was presented to him. Hazrat took one morsel, one lukma he ate. Then he covered this pot with the spare clean lungi that he had brought. He then instructed them to dish out and feed the guests without uncovering the pot. Here's a lungi. In other words, you must just keep the lungi there and you must start dishing out without looking inside. But this mu'ajiza took place in the time of Rasulullah several times. Inshallah, some other occasion. I think once I did mention also, time of Khandaq, how Rasulullah called all the sahaba, so many of them ate, and similar thing happened. So he's got a lungi, covered the pot, telling them just to carry on feeding the guests from there. In this way, the entire jamaat of guests, 30 of them, ate to their full without the food running short, Sheikh Abdul Razak thereafter fed the people of the locality, and still the food sufficed. When Hazrat was returning home, he said to his brother-in-law, "Bhai, please pass me a lungi. I did not give the lungi to you as a gift." When they removed the lungi, they saw the pot was empty. Allah Ta'ala make this type of karamas for these friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. There's so many other beautiful, simple lessons for us to bring into our life, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.